Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fire in the Ashes, 25 Years Among the Poorest Children in America by Jonathan Cazol, is a continuation of the author's long-running examination of poverty, segregation, and schooling in the United States. Drawing on decades of reporting and relationships with children and families in deeply under-resourced neighborhoods, Cazol revisits communities he has written about before and follows what has changed and what has not. The book places readers alongside young people navigating unstable housing, failing infrastructure, neighborhood violence, and public institutions stretched beyond capacity. At the same time, it highlights resilience, humor, love, and ambition that persist amid neglect. Cazol also turns a critical eye toward policy trends in education, including accountability regimes and reforms that promise opportunity but often bypass the structural conditions shaping children's lives. The result is both an intimate narrative of individual stories and a broader argument about moral responsibility and democratic ideals in a wealthy nation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, poverty is a lived daily reality, not an abstraction. A central thread of the book is the insistence that poverty is not a statistic but an all-encompassing environment that shapes childhood minute by minute. Cazol focuses on concrete conditions that determine whether a child can sleep, study, stay healthy, or even feel safe. Readers are brought into overcrowded apartments, unstable housing arrangements, and neighborhoods where basic services are unreliable. These scenes clarify how hardship compounds. A parent losing work can mean eviction. Eviction can mean school transfers. Transfers can mean lost relationships with teachers and counselors, and the cycle continues. Cazol emphasizes how children develop coping strategies and emotional intelligence in response to adult pressures, sometimes taking on caretaking roles far earlier than their peers in wealthier zip codes. The book also examines how public narratives about personal responsibility can obscure the degree to which choices are constrained by infrastructure, employment patterns, transportation access, and exposure to trauma. By grounding large social debates in human experience, Cazol invites readers to reconsider what fairness means when children's starting points are dramatically unequal. The topic frames the book's moral urgency and makes its social critique difficult to dismiss as merely ideological. Secondly, segregation and the geography of opportunity. Cazol links educational inequality to the physical separation of communities by race and income, showing how neighborhood boundaries often function like walls. The book explores how segregation persists through housing markets, zoning, and historic patterns of disinvestment, producing schools that are effectively separate and unequal. Rather than treating segregation as a relic of the past, Cazol describes it as a present-tense system that concentrates disadvantage and limits social mobility. He connects geography to opportunity in practical terms. Access to safe parks, stable healthcare, experienced teachers, and enrichment programs is unevenly distributed, and the distribution follows predictable lines. The narrative underscores how children recognize these disparities early, noticing that their schools lack basic resources or that buildings are in poor condition compared to schools in affluent districts. Cazol also highlights how this separation shapes expectations, with some institutions implicitly preparing students for constrained futures, while others cultivate broad horizons. By tracing the everyday consequences of residential patterns, the book argues that equalizing outcomes is difficult when the environments that feed into outcomes are so unequal. This topic helps readers see that school reform alone cannot substitute for addressing the spatial and economic architecture of inequality. Thirdly, the public school is refuge and pressure cooker. Schools in the book operate in two contradictory roles. They can be havens of stability for children facing chaos, and they can also become sites where the stresses of poverty are intensified. Cazol portrays educators working with limited budgets, high staff turnover, and students carrying heavy emotional burdens. He pays attention to the small acts that matter. A teacher who keeps snacks for hungry students, a counselor who tries to prevent a dropout, or a principal who maintains dignity in a crumbling building. At the same time, the book critiques how schools are tasked with solving problems they did not create. When communities face unemployment, violence, inadequate healthcare, and housing insecurity, schools are expected to compensate without corresponding resources. Cazol examines the impact of large class sizes, insufficient special education support, and limited arts and enrichment offerings, all of which narrow children's experience and reduce joy in learning. The emotional climate of constant testing and disciplinary pressures can also reshape school into a compliance-focused environment rather than a place of curiosity and growth. This topic captures the book's nuanced stance. Public schools are indispensable anchors, but treating them as the only lever for social change is both unrealistic and unfair to students and teachers alike. Fourthly, questioning education reform and accountability culture. Cazol challenges reform agendas that emphasize measurement, incentives, and competition while overlooking structural inequality. The book scrutinizes how accountability systems can punish schools for the predictable effects of concentrated poverty, framing low scores as institutional failure rather than social symptom. Kozol argues that relentless testing can narrow curricula and reduce learning to a set of standardized outputs, diminishing subjects that build critical thinking, civic understanding, and creativity. He also questions the assumption that market-style approaches automatically produce equity, noting that families with the least time, transportation, or information often have the fewest real choices. Through the lived experiences of children and educators, the book suggests that reform language can become a substitute for substantive investment, offering promises of transformation without addressing housing, healthcare, or stable funding. Kozol does not deny the importance of effective teaching and strong leadership, but he asks readers to consider what it means to judge schools without changing the conditions students bring through the front door. This topic helps readers weigh reforms not only by their slogans, but by their on-the-ground consequences, encouraging skepticism toward solutions that sound efficient yet fail to engage with the realities of entrenched poverty and segregation. Lastly, dignity, relationships, and the moral imagination. Beyond policy critique, the book is sustained by relationships and the insistence on seeing children in poverty as fully complex individuals. Kozol foregrounds dignity. Children and parents are not presented as case studies, but as people with humor, intelligence, faith, anger, and dreams. The narrative emphasizes how sustained attention and long-term commitment can counteract the invisibility imposed by social distance. Kozol shows that small moments of recognition can matter profoundly, whether through mentorship, consistent adult presence, or communities that create informal networks of care. He also highlights the moral tension of a society that can normalize deprivation while celebrating ideals of equal opportunity. Readers are invited to expand their moral imagination by confronting disparities that many never directly witness. The book suggests that empathy alone is insufficient unless it leads to civic engagement, better policy, and a refusal to accept child poverty as inevitable. This topic clarifies the book's enduring power. It is not only an argument, but an appeal for a more honest national self-understanding. By centering dignity and human connection, Kozol provides a lens through which readers can examine their own responsibilities as citizens, neighbors, educators, or policymakers. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want an unvarnished look at how poverty and segregation shape childhood in America, including educators, social workers, policymakers, journalists, community organizers, and concerned citizens. It is also valuable for parents and students who want to understand why unequal outcomes persist even when people work hard. The benefit is not just awareness but clarity. Kozol connects personal stories to the systems that produce them, helping readers see how housing, healthcare, employment, and school funding interact in the life of a child. That expanded perspective can change how you vote, advocate, donate, or engage locally, moving from sympathy to informed responsibility. The book is worth buying compared to similar titles because of its long horizon and human continuity. Kozol has followed communities and individuals over decades, which allows him to show how reforms come and go while core inequities remain. Many books offer quick policy fixes or distant statistics. This one emphasizes sustained witnessing and the ethical stakes of ignoring what is in plain sight. If you want a deeply humane account that challenges easy narratives and demands serious attention, this book delivers lasting impact. If you would like to support Jonathan Kozol, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.